really comes down to uniting Ontarians and communities. We see the division right now that's going on. It's not healthy, and this would just divide the community even more.
Is there a split between Doug Ford and members of his cabinet? We've rarely asked that. At least post-pandemic, we have not asked that a lot. The cabinet looked like it was going to be torn apart. And listen, that wasn't an easy time to govern in the spring of 2020, all the way through that year. And I'd argue through the first 5, 6, 7 months of 2021. I think there was a clear roadmap with demarcation as to what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and what we shouldn't ask of people and what we should. And generally speaking, you saw Doug Ford go from being really unpopular lockdown premier to adding 16 seats to his majority government a year later in 2022. So whether you like it or not, he struck a lot of the right notes. And I've heard people say, the voter turnout, Greg, it was so poor in 2022. That's because they knew who would win. And if they were absolutely passionate about one of the other two main parties, and they both have new leaders that I think will generate a little more energy, Bonnie Crombie instead of Stephen Del Duca, Marit Stiles instead of Andrea Horvath running for a fifth straight time as Ontario NDP leader. So we'll see. But I wasn't expecting what we ended up getting yesterday. Sharon Corr is a political strategist and was watching this scenario out, as well as a vote failed to overturn a keffiyeh ban in Ontario's legislature. That's in essence what Doug Ford was referring to. Ford was in lockstep with the aforementioned Crombie and Stiles to overturn the ban, and he didn't get his way because you need unanimous consent. And Sharon joins me right now. What did you make of yesterday's proceedings, first of all?
You know, this is a really hard one. I actually have to give Doug Ford some credit for actually kind of stepping up here. But, and like, listen, we were talking about this yesterday as well. This whole conversation has become so polarized. I personally, there's two views you can look at this. It's there's a view around not having what people are calling props in the legislature or the House of Commons. And that's fine. And if that is a ruling, you have to get unanimous consent. That is completely fine. I think the issue, and this is where Doug Ford kind of stepped in, is that people are using a pretty nasty rhetoric when they refer to the keffiyeh. And even some of his colleagues are doing that, where they're referring to it as something that is identified with Hamas, which I think is where the problem is. And it's become so polarized that we even saw Doug Ford and his entire team kind of disagreeing on this. We saw Lisa McLeod come out. We saw others come out, the speaker come out. And I think what's happening now is that we are further dividing the challenges that are happening between those that are supporting the activities that are happening in Israel and those who are trying to support Palestinians. And I think it's a pretty divisive and unfortunately sad conversation, because it's leading to a lot of Islamophobia, racism, and anti-Semitism.
I think all that's true. Do you see it differently? Somebody like Sarah Jama, for whatever we would say about her, agree with her, disagree with about her, she'd been wearing keffiyeh for a long, long time. Sharon, do you make a distinction between Jama doing that and, let's say, in the federal NDP, a white middle-aged man wearing a keffiyeh? That doesn't seem like, again, it's not for us to assume, well, that's part of his everyday garb. That does seem more political than cultural, does it not?
Yeah, and I think this is the important nuance that everyone is missing. Someone like Sarah Jama, who's actually said pretty controversial things that I would say line up with things that we've heard from those who are pro-Hamas, pro-resistance supporters, and I think she's been problematic. But if a white male is wearing one, I guess my question to people is it people who are saying you can't make political statements in the House of Commons or the legislature? I'm sorry, but let's have a reality check and stop fooling ourselves. The entire House of Commons and the legislators are all political. Like, if we think question period is a moment of time where there's going to be sound, reasonable discussions, we're kidding ourselves. Now, is it cultural appropriation? Sure, go ahead and call it that. But I see no problem with whether it's a white male, a brown female, a black male wearing something in solidarity to show their support towards the community. It does not make them truly misusing the rules that the speaker sets in place, but it is political because those spaces are political.
I don't love the idea of a ban, but I do think it's incumbent upon each of the leaders to say, hey, this is how this is going to be responded. And to be honest, what I've said, and I always feel this way, Sharon, during election campaigns, I wonder if when we see politicians, you know, walk into synagogues during Yom Kippur and walk into mosques during Ramadan and they affix the garb and I think we need to have those people in those environments to find out what matters to our communities. Absolutely, we should. Mm-hmm. But there's a little bit. Look, Justin Trudeau, as you know, got barbecued left, right and center when he went to India and put on the dress that he did, if you will. So it's God, I wish politicians didn't feel compelled to do it. It just feels like where we're at, and then post a social media photo of it. But it feels like where we're at right now, for better or worse.
And, you know, the sad part about all of that is that it's I remember when India happened, I was in the federal government. And listen, mm-hmm. I come from Indian descent. And I was like, my family thought it was wonderful because they're just like, oh, my God, look at this. He's wearing our cultural attire. But what happened was that people turned that, like, as lovely as my father may have found it, we started hearing the rhetoric from people calling it costumes and all these words that I would say are actually offensive. Like, these are not costumes. These are our cultural attire. So, yeah, you know what? Sometimes politicians overdo it, but it's like a really fine line. And I think that the issue is the response that people have to it versus what they're actually doing.
You bring up, it's an odd one, because to wrap on this, it's we see politicians showing up and if they're Caucasian and they'll show up and dress this way and dress that way. And yet as parents, I almost think we know if our daughter or son wanted to go that way for school to hell, we'd be like, no, you're going to get in trouble for cultural misappropriation. It's not that time anymore. You can't be somebody that you're not. And it's that tricky balancing act.
Yeah, it definitely is. But you know what? I think the fair argument people are having is that if you're going to support one culture, you've got to be fair to support the other. We see whenever there's Ukrainian heritage moments in Queen's Park, we have several members who will come in wearing the traditional Ukrainian attire. And I don't know if there was a unanimous support pass for them to do that, but you have to be fair. Period.
We talked about Justin Trudeau. There was a big story in the Globe and Mail about the idea of a successor. And 2 days after a budget, I don't know if Trudeau loves that being the case. You know, we've heard before that when Anita Anand has raised issues as to whether, I might like that job someday. There was a private stern rebuke towards her. But in this case, mm-hmm. it was Dominic LeBlanc. And in this case as well, Sharon, we're almost a year removed from that incident. The Liberals are far worse in the polls. What do you make of the idea that names are starting to bubble to the surface? Does this make this even more likely that Justin Trudeau won't run in the next election?
Oh, man, you know, this is so messy. I saw that article and I'm a big fan of Dominic LeBlanc. I think he's a lovely person. I'm pretty sure he probably regrets having a certain conversation with someone who put that out there. Yeah. But you know what? I don't think the prime minister is going anywhere. Let's be completely real. And I can be completely full disclosure here. I spent 5 years working for this government. I align myself with liberal views. Is this liberal party currently my liberal party? No, I feel like it's left me a bit and it's gone far too left. That being said, the only person that I truly believe can take on Pierre Poilievre, who has done an intense revamp of his brand, his communications, all these things, and is appealing to people left, right, and center. The only person who can really kind of take him up, I think, is Prime Minister Trudeau. It is what Pierre and his team have done is kind of created a similar celebrity-like figure around him that work for Trudeau, and they've done the same for him. And I don't think anybody else can, quite frankly, gain the momentum to do that against him. So my bet is that the Prime Minister stays in, and I think he has to if they want to take it up against Pierre.
Sharon Corr on 640 Toronto. I got to leave it there. Thanks so much for the time. Have a great weekend, and let's chat again real soon.
Always.
All right. There's Sharon Corr joining us. I make the point as well, and I think I've done it, but let me do it again. Why do you want this job now if you're going to ascend? If Trudeau wants to go, why do you want to take the body bruises and blows for him in the next election? They're coming. I think we're all pretty conscious of that. It's just a question as to how good or how bad it is. But they're not going to form government next time around. Why don't you want to wait this out? Let Justin take his L, if you will, and then move it in a different direction after that.